If you have your Bibles there, before we go to 2 Kings, it would be just helpful for us to look at the fact that the history of all of creation is God's history, and the story of Naaman and the history of Naaman and those associated with him and in this story are all there because God, our God, is a God of purpose, and the purpose of all things is to reveal God's glory, and all of God's glory centres on who the Lord Jesus is and the way he saves his people. That's what this creation exists for, to display the glory of God, and that glory is displayed in our Saviour. So he went back to his hometown in Luke chapter 4, and he opened up the book and he spoke those extraordinary words from Isaiah 61. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. He has sent to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book and he said, today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. And down to verse 24, he said, assuredly I say to you, no prophet is accepted in his own country, but I tell you truly, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elijah, when heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, and there was a great famine throughout all the land. But to none of them was Elijah sent, except to Zarephath, in the region of Sidon, to a woman who was a widow. And many lepers were in Israel in the time of Elisha the prophet, and none of them was cleansed except Naaman the Syrian. So all those in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath and rose up and thrust him out of the city, and as they led him to the brow of the hill on which their city was built, that they might throw him down the cliff, down over the cliff. Then passing through the midst of them, he went his way. And his way is never the ways of men, and his ways in salvation are always extraordinary, and they're always particular and individual. In verse 40 of Mark chapter 1, now a leper came to him, imploring him, kneeling down to him and saying to him, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Then Jesus, moved with compassion, stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, I am willing, be cleansed. As soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. And so when we come back to 2 Kings chapter 5, we're actually looking at the Old Testament picture of these things. It's a picture of God's sovereignty in salvation, God's sovereignty in election, in grace, in mercy, and in love. And it pictures God's providence in the saving of his people. Let's just read these extraordinary words. Now Naaman, commander of the army of the king of Syria, was a great and honourable man in the eyes of his master, because by him the Lord had given victory to Syria. He was also a mighty man of valour, but a leper. And the Syrians had gone out on raids, and they brought back a captive, a young girl from the land of Israel. She waited on Naaman's wife. Then she said to her mistress, if only my master were with the prophet who is in Samaria, for he would heal him of his leprosy. And Naaman went in and told his master, saying, thus and thus said the girl who is from the land of Israel. Then the king of Syria said, go now and I will send a letter to the king of Israel. So he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold and 10 changes of clothing. Then he brought the letter to the king of Israel, which said, "Now be advised, when this letter comes to you, that I have sent Naaman my servant to you, that you may heal him of his leprosy." And it happened, when the king of Israel read the letter, that he tore his clothes and said, "Am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man sends a man to me to heal him of his leprosy? Therefore, please consider and see how he seeks a quarrel with me." So it was, when Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, "Why have you torn your clothes? Please let him come to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel." Then Naaman went with his horses and chariot, and he stood at the door of Elisha's house. And Elisha sent a messenger to him, saying, "Go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh shall be restored to you, and you shall be clean." But Naaman became furious and went away and said, "Indeed, I said to myself, he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and wave his hand over the place and heal the leprosy. Are not the Arbana and the Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, far better than all the waters of Israel? Could I not wash in them and be clean?" So he turned and went away in a rage. And his servants came near and spoke to him and said, "My father, if the prophet had told you to do something great, would you not have done it? How much more then when he says to you, 'Wash and be clean'?" So he went down and dipped 7 times in the Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God. And his flesh was restored like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. And he returned to the man of God, he and all his aides, and came and stood before him, and he said, "Indeed, now I know that there is no God in all the earth, except in Israel. Now, therefore, please take a gift from your servant." But he said, "As the Lord lives, before whom I stand, I will receive nothing." And he urged him to take it, but he refused. So Naaman said, "Then if not, please let your servant be given 2 mule loads of earth, for your servant will no longer offer either burnt offering or sacrifice to other gods, but to the Lord. Yet in this thing may the Lord pardon your servant, when my master goes into the temple of Rimmon to worship there, and he leans on my hand, and I bow down in the temple of Rimmon. When I bow down in the temple of Rimmon, may the Lord please pardon your servant in this thing." Then he said to him, "Go in peace." So he departed from him a short distance. Naaman is a great picture, as we see all through the scriptures, of God's salvation. The questions that are obvious, aren't they? As does bathing in the Jordan heal people of leprosy? The next question: could Naaman have been healed without bathing in the Jordan? The answer to both questions is no. Naaman's leprosy, his leprosy in the Old Testament in Leviticus 13 and 14 shows, is a picture of sin, a picture of the sin which is a pollution of all people. See, Naaman was a great, and Naaman was a powerful man, and Naaman was a wealthy and a successful man. But if you look in verse 1, you'll see that it was actually the Lord's doing. The Lord makes a difference. It was because of him, by him the Lord had given victory. But this man was a leper. This sin and this disease had poisoned this man, like all of us, to the very core of his being. Sin is like a master who always pays his wages. We are sinners by nature from our father Adam, and we are sinners by practice. You see, Naaman would have been someone for whom the very people under his care would have been fearful to be in the presence of. Now, leprosy pollutes absolutely everything. It is contagious. It is incurable. And it's what this sin is what pollutes even the most righteous things that we do. So Naaman was a great and powerful man. But like all men, until the grace of God comes to them, in God's providence, like all men, they are proud, proud men. Even on his way to Israel, he's a man who displays his works and his worth. But before we go there, let's just look at the providence of God. On Sunday, we looked at the providence of God in Simon of Cyrene, a picture of salvation. Just think of the providences. Naaman was rich and powerful and successful by God's doing. And Naaman just happened to have this captured young girl in his house. And this captured young girl just happened to wait on Naaman's wife. This young girl happened to have this witness in her life of what God can do through his prophets. And we need reminding again and again that Elisha is a picture of the prophet. This young girl is a girl with faith. She said just a few words. She said words of faith in verse 3. For he would heal him of his leprosy. This no-name girl makes this extraordinarily courageous statement. Just imagine if he had returned unclean. She was passing, in a sense, a death sentence on herself. But extraordinarily, this powerful man listened, and this powerful man acted just on those few words from this young slave girl. How would Naaman have felt, having gathered all of this wealth together and all of these clothes, and no doubt a goodly number of troops, and gone to Israel and come back a leper still? God moves, powerfully moves the hearts of his people. But as I said earlier, having heard of this possibility of healing in Israel, he came as a wealthy man with his 10 talents of silver and his 6,000 shekels of gold and his changes of clothes. See, Naaman, with his righteousness, was still just a leper who happened to be wealthy. But he comes to buy deliverance. He comes with a letter of commendation and a plea for help from a king. As a rich and powerful man, he wanted to be in the company of rich and powerful and be honoured by them. The young girl had said, go to the prophet, not to a palace, but to a prophet. Naaman went to the wrong place. And when he comes to this place, we find Naaman a proud man. Naaman a hopeful man. Naaman with some hope and trust that these words were true. But he still comes as a proud man. All of us, until God does a work in our hearts. I like Naaman's, aren't we? Lepers, but proud. Filthy, but clothed in clothes of our own righteousness. Sinners, unhumbled, want God and his blessings, but they want God and his blessings plus their own merits and their own will and their own ways intact. Some of them want special recognition and the praise of men and the honour of men. But God says, there is no one good. There is none righteous. And again we are reminded of how the pride of our hearts is such a great enemy to all that is good for our souls. See, Naaman, like all of us, must be emptied. Naaman must be humbled. Naaman must be brought face to face with God. His human thoughts and his human pride and his human ways and his human works and his human activities must be put down. And the sinner eventually must be brought to a place of God's will and God's ways. Which is why that's a wonderful verse in Luke 4:30. That Jesus went through the midst of them and he went his way. God will go his way and do things his way and not the ways of men. And so now we see Naaman humbled. Naaman went to this house, which may not have been a very impressive house if we read the rest of Elisha's history. He didn't live in a palace, and he didn't need to. And when Elisha, the man of God, has this man come to his house, Elisha, by the Spirit of God, knows what this man needs. This proud, still righteous man needs to be humbled. And there, Elisha doesn't even get up from his easy chair and go to the door. There is this man, almost a king in Syria, at a hovel with a prophet. And the prophet, verse 10, sent a messenger out to him. And the messenger brings the words which are echoes of Leviticus 4:17. You see, leprosy in the Old Testament under the Mosaic law is a picture of sin. And the leper, there is no human cure for leprosy in the scriptures. Leprosy is a disease healed by God and God alone. And the leper is a man who covers his moustache and walks around according to law, according to God's law, says, unclean, unclean. But if a leper is cleansed, the priest takes two birds, two clean birds, and he kills one of them, and he dips the other, dips the living bird in the blood of the bird that was killed over running water. And he shall, according to the law, he shall sprinkle it seven times on him who is to be cleansed from the leprosy, and shall pronounce him clean, and he shall let the living bird loose in the field. Like all of the sacrifices, they picture and typify the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus. The bird dies, and another bird goes free, carrying those sins, as it were, away. Salvation is God's way. Naaman had wrong thoughts about God and the way God works and God's mercy. And so do all of us until God humbles us. Salvation is God's way. And free grace, free sovereign grace, free electing sovereign grace, free eternal loving electing sovereign grace is offensive to sinners who bring and seek from God the things of God plus their own righteousness. Verse 11, Naaman became furious. It is extraordinary, isn't it? That he was this man who had a simple instruction. A simple instruction which was humbling, but also an extraordinary promise. Go wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh shall be restored to you, and the words from God, and you shall be clean. He'd gone to all of this trouble, packing up all this goods, going on this long journey, going to the king, and then now he is at the prophet's house with a promise from God. And Naaman's response is fury. No wonder, in response to sovereign grace, people are still furious. Sinners are prepared to do anything, just about anything, to be saved if it allows them to keep some of their righteousness. Sinners are prepared to do anything, just about anything, to be sanctified as long as they can keep some of their righteousness. God won't have it. He doesn't go out to see this man to humble him. And he causes this man to be furious. And Naaman went away. But Naaman's servants were faithful men. Another of the providences of God. What wise words from these servants. In verse 13. My father, if the prophet had told you to do something great, if we believe that there's something great we can do, would you not have done it? Of course. How much more then when he says to you, wash and be clean. And so now we see Naaman, a humbled man. He came down off his high horse. Verse 14, and he went down. He went down bowing to God. When sinners are made willing, they stop lying about themselves and their self-righteousness. They stop trying to do things for themselves that God alone can do. And they stop buying the mercy and the grace of God. And they just bow. They bow to the Lord Jesus. And salvation is a gift. It's a free gift of God. Verse 14, his flesh was restored like the flesh of a little child. All the pollution of life washed from him. And he was clean. He was clean. David was a man like us, polluted by sin. In Psalm 51 he says, wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. Verse 7 of Psalm 51, purge me with hyssop. And hyssop was the plant that was used for the sprinkling of the dove that we read about in Leviticus. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. Verse 8, make me hear joy and gladness that the bones that you have broken, these wounds and this leprosy came to Naaman from God. That these bones, this flesh that you have broken may rejoice. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me by your generous spirit. See, Naaman now is a cleansed man and a healed man. And he returned, verse 15, to the man of God, he and all of his aides, and came and stood before him. And here he makes this wonderful confession. Indeed, now I know. Now I know. God causes his children to know by personal experience that there is no God in all the earth except in Israel. And now, therefore, please take a gift from your servant. He came to buy. He came to pay a price for a work to be done. He now offers a gift of gratitude, a gift in love and thankfulness. And Elijah said, as the Lord lives, before whom I stand, I will receive nothing. Salvation is free. It is a gift. And he urged him to take it. But Elisha refused. Naaman's a man, a proud man who's been humbled, and a proud man who's been healed. And then Naaman has to go back and live now as a man in this world, but not of this world. My pollution in the past has been dealt with. My pollution into the future. What do I do about that? Does grace cover that? He doesn't want to offer sacrifice or burnt offerings to other gods but the Lord. And yet, in this thing may the Lord pardon your servant, verse 18. Here he is, still a servant of this master. And the master leans on his hand and he bows in the temple of Rimmon. When I bow in the temple of Rimmon, may the Lord please pardon your servant in this thing. Will grace cover things that are sins in the future? What a wonderful word from Elisha in verse 19. Then he said to him, go in peace. Go in peace. You have been saved by sovereign grace. You haven't been saved by your activities. And your activities in the future, as wrong and as polluting as they might be, don't affect God's grace. God loves us, children of God. God loves us for no other reason than that he loves us. That's what grace is about. All the reasons for God's love and God's extraordinary providential care of us. He moves every little tiny thing in all of this creation, the things that we can see and the things that we can't see. He is moving every little tiny one of them for the good of every single one of his children all of the time. Think about the amazing power and knowledge of our God. Every little tiny thing that has happened to you, is happening to you, and will happen to you is perfectly ordained and controlled and designed by our God. All the reasons for everything are in Him. Go in peace, humble sinners. Go in peace, says God to his children. Let's pray.